If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh, and welcome to the program.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei for a while now. And I'd like to continue along the same line. And let me ask you this question, Shaykh. What are the Islamic jurisprudence or jurisprudential laws say about visiting your relatives? Especially I'm talking about those relatives who are not observing hijab. Is there any specific law about that?
Well, visiting relatives is sometimes necessary when it comes to your parents. Okay, when it comes to mahram relatives, okay,
yes,
it is your sister. And these are relatives who can choose not to wear hijab in front of you. So it's necessary to see them once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in a remote area which makes it difficult for you to visit them in person and from close, then you can make a phone call. And in this time and age, of course, making a phone call is the least thing that one can do.
Exactly.
To stay in touch and to maintain kinship relationship, kinship
exactly.
ties.
Yes.
So, but when it comes to some non-mahram relatives, they are also your relatives, like your cousins, okay, your uncle's wives.
Yes.
They are also related to you somehow, but it's you can just make a phone call to see, to ask after their health. It's not permissible to look them or to see them without hijab in their houses or whatever. Okay, if they come out into the streets and they are not people who care for hijab, that's another thing. Okay, you cannot turn your eyes, you cannot away or shut your eyes in order not to see, because you have to walk your way, and sometimes you will have to see them.
Yes.
Okay, as long as you do not have the lustful intention, you can still see them, but it depends where you want to see them. If they want to observe hijab and you want to see them, that's not permissible.
Exactly.
But if they are carefree people, they do not observe hijab, they do not respect the laws of Sharia, then it's not your fault
yes.
to see them.
Not it's to mention if you live in a non-Muslim country.
Yeah, of course. In a non-Muslim country, you walk in the streets and there are hundreds yes. of people coming out without hijab.
Yes. But what if those relatives of yours that do not, in fact, observe the hijab, they are not Muslim? Like, for example, we are talking about the converts and reverts, right? Is it necessary exactly to practice Sele Rahim or visiting?
Of course, Sele Rahim is always
kinship.
Sele Rahim or keeping kinship ties.
Mm.
is always necessary, and it makes no difference whether your relatives are Muslims or non-Muslims. It's necessary to respect them, to maintain your relationship, and
yes.
to support them financially if possible.
Right.
If it is within your means.
I see.
To support them.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, some people have to move houses. In fact, maybe there are tenants, so they are residing in a house and they have to give it back or return it to its rightful owner and go to another house. So, but they do it, in fact, during the month of Safar or Muharram. Is there anything wrong with this, like the movement during these sacred or special months?
Well, there's nothing in the sources, in Islamic sources,
yes,
in the Quran and also in the Sunnah of the Prophet to suggest, at least implicitly, that you cannot move to another house in this month, in these 2 months. Okay, there are some people who think that there's no good omen in this these 2 months.
Yes.
These 2 months are ominous, and in the sense that it's not good to move to another house. Okay, this is their belief. If they want to uphold this belief, there's nothing wrong with them. They can stay in their house until and in their houses until the Safar, Muharram and Safar are over.
Yes.
But it's not wrong to move to another house.
But no month is ominous, is it, according to Islam?
What do you mean by ominous?
Some people have it in the culture. This is their cultural belief.
Yes.
All right. That, for example, they consider a certain day, like 13, for example.
Yes.
Or a month, like Safar, for example, during some people, in fact, in different countries. They consider this month or that specific day ominous. Is that correct, according to Islam?
No, it's not correct.
It's just simply a cultural belief.
It's a cultural belief, yes.
Right.
But what is necessary for us is to respect these 2 months and not to do any act which is considered in contravention to what should be observed. For example, if you want to hold a wedding,
yes,
the wedding, there should not be any dancing, any songs, it's always haram to listen to haram music.
Yeah.
But it is even more haram, and the intensity is maybe multiplied.
Yes.
When it is done in the month of Muharram, because it's a kind of disregard to Muharram. So any act which is considered a kind of disregard to Muharram, in common view, we are not talking about the opinion of the Prophet, of the Imams, or God about moving to. In common view, if it is considered to be disregard to the holy month of Muharram and Safar, then it should be avoided.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, we know that when it comes to prayer or offering or saying your prayers, it is mandatory, it is obligatory to wear hijab when we are talking about women. When women offer the prayers, they have to go in full hijab. But what is the limit of covering for the men during offering any kind of prayer?
Well, hijab for men is kind of relaxed in the sense that it's not necessary for men to cover their hair, to cover their neck, their chest, their arms, their legs during prayer.
Mm.
Of course, if a person's genital area is covered, it's sufficient. And even the genital area, that it the rule applies to the genitals, not the parts around them.
Mm.
So not the parts between them. So if those two genital area or the genitalia are covered properly during prayers, it's sufficient, and your prayer is valid. Okay. And so we see that, of course, men have the liberty to not wear any clothes during prayer. Of course, if they are modest, if they wear modest clothing, it's much better, much better. Yes. But when it comes to coming out in public places, it's not permissible for a man to take off his shirt and come out naked with by covering only his genital areas and not covering her legs. And you see, this is not the case with men. Men should also wear proper clothes in order not to attract attention, not to look flashy, not to cause other people to fall into sin.
I see. Sheikh Javid, what are the general jurisprudential laws about killing or slaughtering animals?
The general rule is that first of all, the person slaughtering the animal must be Muslim. Okay. He must believe in the fundamentals of faith. Yes, he's Muslim.
Right.
And then the person who slaughters the animal must face the direction of Qibla.
Right.
The animal should also be facing the direction of Qibla while being slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second condition. The third condition is the person who slaughters the animal must recite God's name, mm-hmm. whether it is Allah, whether it's Bismillah, whether it's Allahu Akbar, it makes no difference. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any word that contains God's name is sufficient. Okay, but if you recite an ayah of the Quran without any God's name in it,
right.
It's not sufficient. So God's name must be mentioned, and then the animal must be slaughtered in such a way that the four arteries, the main veins, yes, the jugular veins, must be slaughtered at the same time. For example, if two veins are cut and then the two other veins are left, and yes, it's not permissible.
These are around the neck, right?
Yeah, these are around the neck. So the four arteries must be cut at the same time. And then the animal must be allowed to shake its legs, so that the blood which is inside its veins come out. Because the blood which comes out is najis, and the blood which remains in its body is pure.
Mm.
Yes, it's pure. So if all the blood comes out of the animal's body, the remaining blood inside the body of the animal is pure, of course. Even though it's blood, and it's not necessary to remove, to make sure that all drops of blood come out of the animal. Yes. And then when the body is, when the animal is slaughtered, then it should be allowed to shake its arms. And then after a while, when the animal is completely dead, then it's okay to cut off the animal's head and then chop it off, of course, and then the body of the animal can be cut into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Sheikh Javid. Thank you very much. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio, whereby we try to delve into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, with me, Muhammad Javad, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We bid you farewell, and until another show, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
لا إله